Good evening. It's Moitzoe Asara Beteves. Beginning now the second half of the week, entering the week of Vayichi, middle of the week of Vayichi. Parshas Vayichi is the last Shabbos of Sefer Bereshis, which Sefer Bereshis, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us is called Sefer HaYosher, the book of the righteous ones, because this is the Sefer that speaks to us about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chafei, quotes a pasuk in Yehoshua, that when Yehoshua stopped the sun and the moon in the famous battle in Givon, so the pasuk says, Haloi hiksuva al Sefer HaYosher, that this has already been written in the book of the righteous, Sefer HaYosher. So the Gemara asks, which Sefer is that? Says the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, Ze Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Shenikru'u Yishorim. Says Rashi, Hainu Sefer Bereshis, Shema'asa Ovois K'suvim Boi. Later the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that also refers to Sefer Bereshis as Sefer HaYosher. And it's interesting that both the psukim written in Sefer HaYosher, meaning in Sefer Bereshis that the Gemara is talking about, are in Parshas Vayechi. In Parshas Vayechi we read when Yaakov actually gives the bracha to Ephraim, when Ephraim is before Manasseh. So there he says, V'zaro yihyeh meloi hagoyim, that Ephraim, the descendants of Ephraim, will be greater than the descendants of Manasseh, particularly Yehoshua ben Nun, who comes from Ephraim. There Rashi brings, we're talking here about the she'os, kol ha'olam yismale b'tseis shimo yushmoi k'sheyamid chama b'givoyin v'yoreach b'emek ha'yoloim. In that battle, when Yehoshua stopped the sun in its tracks, and as Rashi quotes here from this Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Hei, on the same daf, the Gemara actually quotes a pasuk in Shmuel, as we just mentioned, Halohi k'suva al sefer divrei hayosher, and there it's talking about by the Levaya of Shaul HaMelech, where David laments, Vayoyim alamed b'nei Yehuda keshes, hinei k'suva al sefer hayosher, which is sefer Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, who were called Yishorim. As we know, Bilam says, Tomais nafshi mois yishorim. Where is that Ramuz that Yehuda knew how to use the keshes? Yehuda ato yoiducha achecha yoducha be'oyerif oyevecha. Again, a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. So Parshas Vayechi is the last parsha of Sefer Bereshis, which is called Sefer HaYosher. So we complete this week Sefer HaYosher, Chazak, 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 v'nis Chazek. And this parsha is always read in the middle of Teves, or almost the middle of Teves, in the vicinity of Asara B'Teves, the fast day that was just concluded when Nebuchadnezzar placed Yerushalayim in a siege and the Churban begins. It took some time, but it starts with Asara B'Teves. It continued later with Shavasa B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzayim Gedalia. And that's why we fasted today, including the other tragedies that occurred in Teves, as mentioned last week, and if anyone was paying attention to the Slichas, this morning, Yerach Teves, Lokisi Boy Harbe, this month of Teves, I suffered so much, as the Python writes, as we say in the Slichas of Asara B'Teves. So Teves is a dark month, a month of concealment, and Vayechi is as well. Parshas Vayechi is referred to as a Parsha Stuma, a closed parsha, like we are now in a closed time. This is the only parsha that doesn't have a break between the previous parsha and the parsha that follows, between Vayigash and Vayechi. There's normally a space of a number of letters, 9 letters, between one parsha and the other. Here there are no breaks. It goes straight from Vayigash to Vayechi. It's very hard to actually see where Vayechi starts. So it's closed. And as the first Rashi in this parsha, Rashi asks, Lama parsha zus esuma? Why is it closed? And Rashi gives two interpretations. In the Medrash, there's another. One, because this is the parsha where Yaakov passes away. Mishaniftar Yaakov Avinu, Nistimu Einehem V'libam Shel Yisrael Mitzoras Hashibu. The eyes and the hearts of the Jews are closed. And as Sfasemis writes, this was not physical bondage, this was spiritual bondage. The Jews were not working yet. They were not subjected to any forced labor, hard labor. That's first later, when all the Shvatim pass away, which doesn't take place until the next parasha, Parashas Shemais. But Beruchnius, the Golas starts here with the passing of Yaakov Avinu, and then later at the end of the parasha with the passing of Yosef HaTzadik, who Yaakov and Yosef are really one, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Bnei Yaakov v'Yosef Sela Noyheik Hatzoyin Yosef. And basically, in this parsha, we no longer have with us the Avos, as the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel, the Masechta that many have started this week in the new cycle of Daf Yomi. So there the Gemara says, Ein Koirin Avos Ela L'Shloisha. There are only three patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This week, Yaakov leaves, or it seems he leaves. The Gemara says in Tainus Daf Hei, and Rashi quotes it here as well, Yaakov Avinu Loimes, but at least on the surface, or at least to our eyes, it looked like Yaakov passed away. The Pasuk does say, Vayigva, Vayeosef, it doesn't say Vayomas, but to the naked eye, Yaakov is not here. Physically, we don't see Yaakov Avinu. So with this parsha, the era known as the Avos comes to an end. And for that time, that was a great descent. To go from the era called Avos to the era called Shvatim was a Yerida. And Yosef HaTzadik was also really considered one of the Avos. Vayisimeini le'av. Yosef was not like the rest of the Shvatim, and as we see in this week's parasha, that he was elevated to the status, to some degree, he was elevated to the status of the Avos. He's not really considered one of the Shvatim. Rather, his children are part of that Shvatim. The Ephraim and Manasseh join now the ranks of Shvatim. So Yosef himself is from the Shiva Royim. He's from the seven shepherds. He's considered to some degree like an Av. He also passes away this week. And as a result, there's a closure, there's a stima, there's a closing, there's a concealment, there's darkness. And the same happened many years later when we had the era known as prophecy, the era called Nevuah. Ezra passed away the day before Asara B'Teves, Testeves, as mentioned in the Slichas today. Today's Slichas of Asara B'Teves, it mentions the passing of Ezra HaSofer on Testeves, and it was in the month of Teves, which the passing of Ezra meant the end of the glorious era known as prophecy, because Ezra was the last Navi. The Gemara says, Ezra zu Malachi. Malachi was the last Navi, the one whose Nevuah ends off with Hinei Anoichi Shoyleach Lechem Es Eliyahu Anovi Lefnei Boyayim Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira, referring to Bias HaMashiach. So Ezra was the last Navi, and when he passed away, that was the end of the era of Nevuah. And then there was a closing, there was concealment, no clarity without Nevuah, similar to what we see in Parashas Vayechi with the passing of Yaakov and the passing of Yosef. Klal Yisrael plunged into darkness now, and the parasha is closed. But the Sfas Emes asks that in reality, that closure should be at the end of Vayechi, where we come to the conclusion where Yosef passes away and Yaakov is gone, so that's where it should be closed. There it's not closed. There it's very open, because between Vayechi and Shemais, which is the next Sefer of Chumash, there's a huge space. So why is the closure over here? If anything, it should be over there. Sfas Emes asks this. Pnei Menachem discusses this in various essays of his in this week's parasha. We'll try to give a little insight into why it is this way. The Avudraham and many other poskim tell us that Asara B'Teves is like Yom HaKippurim. If it would fall out on Shabbos, you would have to fast. This is a very serious fast, although we could be mekel halachically, and it's only a 12-hour fast, it's not a 24-hour fast. It doesn't have the restrictions of Tisha B'Av halachically, although some say if you want, you could be machmir. But in a certain way, it is a very strict fast. It's the aschalta, the puranusa, the beginning of the punishment. Says the Avudraham, if it fell out on Shabbos, you would have to fast. But it never falls out on Shabbos for that very reason, because we would have an issue. What would we do? So therefore, the calendar makers made sure that Asara B'Teves could never fall out on Shabbos. But it could fall out on Friday, as it will next year, but hopefully in a joyous way. And that's the only fast that could fall out on a Friday, which also shows us the strictness of this fast. Why does the Avudraham say that Asara B'Teves, if it would be on Shabbos, you would have to fast? Because in Yechezkel HaNavi, the Pasuk says, I believe it's Perek Chav Tes, Hashem tells Yechezkel what's going to happen on the 10th day of the 10th month, Asara B'Teves, Asiri Sheba Asiri. And he tells him, write it down, K'sov Locho Es Etzem Hayoim Hazeh, Sheboi Somach Melech Bovel Al Yerushalayim. That on this day, the Etzem Hayoim Hazeh, in the essence of this day, in the middle of this day, is when the siege around Yerushalayim will take place. So says the Avud Raham, it says, Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh. The only other fast day that the Torah calls Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh is Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur. So like Yom Kippur is Doich HaShabbos, Asara B'Teves would also be Doich HaShabbos. Okay, but it's not Doich HaShabbos. So for us, practically that can't happen anyway. But the fact that we're being told that it's like Yom Kippur, and the truth is every fast day is a day of tshuva. That's the whole purpose of the fast. The purpose of the fast is not to sleep the whole day so that the fast day goes quick, or to take a walk so you can try to kill time, as some people do on a fast day. That's not what you're supposed to do on a fast day. That's not the purpose of the fast day. The purpose of the fast day is a day of reflection, a day of tshuva, a day of tikkun ha-ma'asim. The fact that we're still in Golus at this very moment, and Mashiach has still not yet arrived, so then there's still what to do tshuva for, and everyone knows what they have to do tshuva for. So a fast day is a day of tshuva. We say, Avinu Malkeinu hachsireinu b'shuva shleimu lefanecha on a fast day, today included. But this fast day, being that it's equated to Yom Kippur, and it comes right after the Gemar HaChasima, the last day of Chanukah, which, as mentioned, what all the Svarim HaKadoshim say, it's the Gemar HaChasima Toiva of Yom Kippur. So that means in a certain way, Yom Kippur was extended until today, because today Asara B'Teves is like Yom Kippur. So tonight, tomorrow, is Moitzo'e Yom Kippur. And it's interesting, I did not see this anywhere, so take it as it may be, but it's interesting that we know that there are 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And those 4 days, Chazal tell us, are very, very great days, because in those days, Klal Yisrael are busy doing mitzvahs, they don't do aveiros, they're building the sukkah, they're looking for a lulav. Well, this year, and many years, there are 4 days from tonight, tomorrow, until this coming Sunday, which is the first day of a very special cycle of 6 weeks known as Shoivavim. So we go straight from Asara B'Teves, really, into Shoivavim with a 4 day gap in between, similar to like after Yom Kippur, there are 4 days of a break, and then comes Sukkot, which goes until after Chanukah. Basically, every day, every week, every period during the year is special. And we have to find what's unique about every time, even when it looks like there's nothing unique about that time. And there's no such thing, because every day really is special, every time is special. And in our generation, we were given another grace period, another extension, a time that we can do tshuva, even for aveiros that tshuva is difficult to do for, during those weeks known as Shoivavim, which start this coming Sunday, Moitzei Shabbos, which is the 15th of Teves, Tesvav, the middle of the month, the middle of Teves, which Teves is this difficult, dark, cold month of concealment, and smack in the middle starts the Yemei HaShoivavim, the Tikkun Shoivavim. Why in the middle of Teves? Because Teves, as we spoke, Teves is the month that begins with Chanukah. The Rosh Chodesh Teves was Chanukah. And Chanukah is, as the B'nai Yisoscha, whose Yahrzeit is next week, Schuso Yogan Aleinu writes, quoting the Kadmainim, the Reikeach, and others, Chanukah is Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. So Chanukah is the light of Mashiach, which Shoivavim is the Oir of Mashiach, as all the Svarim that talk about Shoivavim tell us. It's the Bechina of Mashiach Chayzer. It's like the light of Mashiach comes back in time, where we are given an extension, we're given time to do tshuva, to be able to bring Mashiach, Shuvu Bonim Shoivavim, and to be masakin ourselves in the area which is the Midah of Yosef HaTzadik. Now we find interesting in this week's parasha, Yaakov lives in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shva esrei shana. Those were his final years in Mitzrayim, his final years and the best years of his life. The last 17 begematria toiv, the last 17 years of his life where he lived in peace and tranquility. His children weren't fighting anymore. No more tragedies, no more suffering. But in Mitzrayim, it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, it was in Mitzrayim. And those were his best years. and his years ended good. It's like that. It's like as if his whole life was good, as the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh speaks about this at the beginning of the parasha. However, we know that he was supposed to live longer. The Pasuk tells us he lived 147 years. Well, that's pretty long. Today's standards, that would be nice if we could all live to 147 and perhaps even more. But for that time, especially the Avos, he lived the shortest because Avram was 175, 5 years subtracted from his life, so you shouldn't see Esav going off the derech. And Yitzchak, from all three who lived a full life, lived 180. So Yaakov, compared to his father, lived 33 years less than his father. Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. And as Rashi tells us here, that whoever the Torah writes about him, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, that means he didn't live as long as his father. The other one is David. This week's Haftorah. The Haftorah of Vayichi, always read this week. Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamus, because David lived 70 years, and his father, according to one Gersa, lived 80. According to another Gersa, his father lived 400 years. But David did not live as long as Yishai. Yaakov did not live as long as Yitzchak. But it seems that Yaakov knew that he was going to pass away. It was pretty clear. Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, and he calls his son Yosef and asks him to do him a favor to take him out of Mitzrayim and bury him there, as we all know the story here at the beginning of the parasha. How did Yaakov know that he's about to die? He's 147. His father lived to 180. Usually people live as long as their parents. Mishnah and Adia is Ha'av, Zeichel, Abnai, Bechachma, Be'Aisha, Be'Shanim. So why is he concerned about dying now? We learned in Parshas Toldos that Yitzchak thought he was going to die when he was 123 because it was 5 years before the age that his mother passed away. But Yaakov has nothing to worry about here. Yitzchak doesn't pass away until 180, unless it was his mother's age. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, quote, discusses this extensively this week. The Baal HaTurim tells us, alludes to it, that Yaakov knew that he was going to lose 33 years of his life. Last week we mentioned one Medrash. The Medrash that the Baal HaTurim tells us is because he cursed Rachel. Not really Rachel, he cursed whoever those statues of Lavan should be found in his or her possession shall not live. Yaakov said, Lo Yichyeh. He didn't know that Rachel was the one who stole those trophim. So he said, Lo Yichyeh. Yichyeh. Yichyeh is equal to 33. So says the Baal HaTurim, because he said that, he lost 33 years of his life. She died early too. She died as a result of that curse, although he definitely didn't mean her. And he blamed himself for that as well. We see later in the parish of Ani Bevoyi Mipadan Mesa Olai, Ani Bevoyi Mipadan Mesa Olai Rachel. Rachel's death, he said, is my fault, Yaakov Avinu says. Because I said something I shouldn't have said. And as a result, she died before entering Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of that, Yaakov loses 33 years of his life. So Yaakov knew he was going to pass away 33 years before the age of Yitzchak. So that's why at the age of 147, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, he knows. Before we get into that, perhaps, which we discussed in previous years, you notice at the beginning of this parasha that the Torah switches a lot from Yaakov to Yisrael, from Yisrael to Yaakov. I mean, why not just call him by one name? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a long piece on this and says that you have to look closely into the psukim, and you'll see that whenever we talk about Ruchnius, it says Yisrael. When it's Gashmius, it's Yaakov. When we talk about something which is negative, it's Yaakov. When it's positive, it's Yisrael. He gives you many examples. Perhaps we can add to it in time as well. The time that we have just concluded, basically, last week, with the conclusion of the month of Kislev, we concluded the days of Yisrael. Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. And now we enter the time period of Yaakov, which is lower than Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael aren't doing what they're supposed to, they're called Yaakov. When we are on the high Madrega, when we are the way we're supposed to be, we're called Yisrael. Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus is begematria Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev come to an end. In those months, we are Yisrael. In those months, we reach great heights. Those are months of revelation. Those are the months of Yaakov Avinu. We should say Yisrael, but Yaakov Avinu, not Esav. When we enter the month of Teves, however, as we mentioned many times, we enter the month of Esav, the domain of Esav, the left side, the nighttime, darkness, outside. That's Teves, where we light the Hanukkah neiros. That's Teves. That's Esav. We go down from Yisrael to Yaakov. As we said last week, Yisrael Yaakov is Begematria Chodesh Teves. We go down into Teves. It's Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. We're in the Mitzrayim of time now. So in the Mitzrayim of time, our status has been lowered. We are now Yaakov. But the goal is to revert back to Yisrael. The goal is to change the Teves, to elevate the Teves, to make the Teves no different than Kislev. And Chanukah does that for us. Chanukah connects the 2 months. Ki toiv, ayar elohim es ha'or, ki toiv is Rosh Teves, Kislev Teves. That's Chanukah. Chanukah is in those words, vayar elohim es ha'or, ki toiv, ayavdel, as we mentioned many times, es ha'or, ki toiv, ayavdel is begamatria, the word Chanukah 8 times. And that's the Or HaGonah, the hidden light, which the power of Chanukah is to permeate the Teves. We mentioned what the Sfasemah says, that there are 36 Neiros. Why are there 36 Neiros on Chanukah? Because from Chof Hei Kislev to the last day of Teves, there are 36 days. That means the Oyer of Melech HaMoshiach starts on Chanukah, and specifically Rosh Chodesh Teves, it continues into Teves. That means the light of Moshiach lights up Teves. So Teves begins with Chanukah, and in Teves we have the Yemei HaShoivovim. Now it's interesting that we spoke last week that Vayigash is the Shabbos after Chanukah. So Chanukah extends till after Vayigash. What about this week? We can't say that it's still Chanukah this week. Or could we? But based on what the Sfasemah says, that the 36 Neiros are connected, the 36 days from Chof Hei Teves till the last day of Chof Hei Kislev till the last day of Teves, we sure could. That's the whole goal. The whole idea is to extend Chanukah into the entire Teves, illuminate the entire Teves. Don't lose sight of what we hopefully accomplished Chanukah. And the Chanukah, which is the taste of Mashiach, should not just be the taste, but it should actually, the light of Mashiach should actually begin in Teves. The Medrash says in Lech Lecha, we quoted this Medrash many times, but we're seeing it right now with our own eyes. Imra'isa malchiyos misgarois zu bezu. If you see nations attacking each other, nations antagonizing one another, tzape l'ragloi shel Moshiach. Look forward to the feet of Moshiach. Many ask, what does it mean, the feet of Moshiach? We're waiting for his feet, or we're waiting for him? There is such a pasuk when it says, by harazesim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand on harazesim, v'omdu raglov, Bayoim Hahu, also the feet of the Lashon of the Zohar HaKadosh, Matu Raglin Beraglin. Regel indicates the end. The foot is the bottom of the body, the lower part of the body. Ikfesed the Mashiach, the Ekev, the heel of Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, which really means the end of Golos, the regel of time, and the coming of Mashiach is a new beginning. A new arrival, the arrival of Mashiach, Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach, is Ragloi Shel Mashiach. So the Medrash tells us, why does the Medrash tell this to us? And if you see nations antagonizing one another, which in the olden days, how did they even know when things were happening? How did they know about wars or attacks? They had no means of, there was no means of communication in those days. They didn't have the internet, they didn't have technology, they didn't have radio or television or whatever, satellite. So in those days, it took probably months or years until they found things out. The Medrash clearly is telling us that there's going to be a situation where everyone is going to be able to see this. When you see Malchios Mizgaros Zu Bezu, so that means wake up. That means that Mashiach is coming. Do something about it. Prepare. Be ready. Now, today in the news, we're hearing about Iran. Iran is Poras. Poras, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Yud, the Gemara says that Poras will fall in the hands of the Romans. Now, there is another opinion that the Romans will fall in the hands of Poras. Machlokes, who's going to fall in the hands of who? Rav says, let's hope he's right. Asida, both right, but let's hope this is what we're going to see. Asida Poras, shetipol biyad Roimi, which today Roimi is America. That Poras, Iran, will fall in the hands of Roimi. Now, who is Poras in the Torah? If you take a look in Parshas Lech Lecha, there the pasuk says that the descendants of Yefes, Ubenei Yefes, Goimer, Umogoig, Modai v'yavon v'suval u'meshech v'siros. So in that pasuk we have Magog. Magog, as we all know, is the country that we learn about when we talk about Gog u'Magog, the final war where the nations are going to try to take away Yerushalayim from Klal Yisrael. Magog is a country that plays a very important role there, and that's when the Bnei Yefes. In that pasuk there's also Yavon, which is Persia, which is Greece rather, and also some say Tiras, some say that's Turkey. Chazal tell us here in the Gemara Yuma Daf Yud that Tiras is Paras. Tiras is Persia, which is Iran. Rashi doesn't tell us the names of any of them except Tiras. And here he says, Tiras zu Paras. That's Iran. So Iran is mentioned for the first time. Paras is mentioned for the first time and the only time in Chumash in this pasuk, together with Magog, which Magog, we all know, is the nation that is going to play a role as Mashiach is about to come, or if the Mashiach comes, is a dispute when Muhammad's Gog and Magog will be. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that Malchus Paras is going to last until Mashiach comes. This is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Beis Amid Beis. There are reasons why Paras was Zoycha, that their Malucha should last so long. One interpretation is because they were the ones, Kairesh was the one who helped build the second Beis HaMikdash, unlike Bavel that destroyed it, and the Romans destroyed it. Paras at that time helped out. Kairesh was the one who actually helped build the second Beis HaMikdash, gave permission for the Jews to leave. So Tosfos over here asks, doesn't the Gemara say that Paras is going to fall in the hands of the Romans? So Tosfos answers, that's right before Mashiach comes. That's right. Right before Mashiach comes, Paras will fall. And there's a Targum Yonason in Lech Lecha where Avram Avinu was shown a nevuah all the way till the end of time. He was shown about the downfall of Iran. The pasuk says over here, V'hinei Eima Chasheicha Gedoila Noifeles Olav. This is the famous Brisbane Abisorim. And this pasuk refers to various empires, as the Midrashim tell us. Comes along the Targum Yonason, and he's quoting Midrashim. Who was the last one here? Noifeles Olav. So he says here, Targum Yonason says, Dohu Paras, this is Paras, Iran, the Asid Olameipa, that's going to fall, Noifeles, and they will never rise again. And from that downfall, Klal Yisrael will rise. Now we know the Baal HaTurim at the end of the Parshas Chayesara tells us, with the downfall of Yishmael, Al Pnei Kolech of Nofol, which is Begamatria Dor Acharon, the last generation, the Eila told us Yitzchak, then Smichas ben David will take place when Yishmael will fall. Today it's obvious that Paras and Yishmael are interrelated. So these words, Noifeles Olav, these two words, Noifeles Olav, says the Targum Yonason, and that's Paras. Noifeles Olav is Begamatria Vesiros, as we just mentioned, that Tiros is Paras. And there are other sources. There are psukim in Daniel. And Daniel sees a vision where he sees the Tsar of Malchus Paras. He sees the Malach. Every nation has a Malach. And he sees the Tsar of Malchus Paras 21 days. There's a whole nevuah over there. Not that we have any idea what these nevuahs mean. One day we'll understand it. But in that pasuk, or in the next pasuk, the pasuk uses a very similar phrase as it does here in Parshas Vayechi. Hey osfu ve'agid olochem eisa sheyikra eschem ba'achres hayomim. That phrase, Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'achris Hayamim, is found in Daniel right after it talks about the Tsar of Malchus Paras. So it's very clear that when Paras is in the news and when Paras is making trouble, and there's no question that that's what's happening now, less man the palace, there's nothing to argue about. That is what's happening. How this is going to turn out, we don't know. We are not Nevi'im, we don't know. But these midrashim were not told to us for nothing. The fact that these midrashim and these gemaras were told to us, it means that when you see such a situation, get ready. That's what it means. It's being told to us for a reason. Because Chazal knew that there's going to be a time when we're not going to have any prophets. We're going to live in a time of total concealment, like Vayechi, like Parshas Vayechi, Parshas Stuma. But we are being shown signs. Those signs are clear signs that something is happening. The Yalkut Shemayni in Yeshaya quotes the famous psikta that was mentioned here many times, and it's being quoted again now by greats, by great people. The Moshe Wolfson Shlita quoted this Friday night in Borough Park, as this story is developing now. And that Yalkut Shemayni is something which only we understand now what it's talking about. 40 years ago, none of this made sense. We spoke about this once before. Paras, Iran, till 40 years ago, was a very friendly country with the United States, very pro-Israel. Hard to imagine that, but the leader of Iran at that time was the Shah of Iran. The Shah of Iran was a friend of the United States, a friend of the state of Israel, and Iran was no enemy of the Jews at that time, or of America, or of the West. So these midrashim made no sense. Anyone, if you looked at this medrash, like, why would Paras be a problem? It must be a different Paras, or maybe the medrash just got it wrong, Chas v'Shalom. Today, it's as crystal clear as day. Because we all know 40 years ago, there was a revolution in Iran, and everything turned around, the Khomeini came, everything changed, and they became radicalized and started making trouble 40 years ago already. This is going on for a while. With the hostages, with everything else that's been going on and on and on. And this medrash, this psikta, this Yalkut Shemayni now, is very clear. And there it talks about a feud between Paras and Arvi. That's Iran and Saudi Arabia. Can we be clearer than that? It's straight out. Melech Paras, Megara b'melech Arvi. And Melech Arvi, Megara b'melech Paras. And there the medrash actually says this will take place. Shana shemelech ha-Moshiach niglaboy, the year that Moshiach will be revealed in. Okay, we don't know exactly what, how, when, and where. That's not the purpose of the talk here now. We're not making predictions. This is not prophecy, and no one's claiming that at all. We're quoting Midrashim, and we're just saying that when you see things happening, everything that a Jew sees in general has to be something that you learn a lesson from. That's Pashut. The Baal Shem Tov said, whatever a Jew sees and hears, even from Goyim, is a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Certainly when it's major news and it's breaking news and it's the top of the news and it's going on and on and it's that which all the Midrashim and the Gemara spoke about years ago, is it not clear that it's being told to us, that we're supposed to look at this and say, hey, 1 minute, something's happening. Maybe we got to stop for a minute and say, if this is really what's happening, well, let's get ready. There it says that there's going to be a situation where Paras is Megara b'melech Arvi, and Arvi Megara b'melech Paras. And it says that the king of Aravia, which is Saudi Arabia, is going to seek counsel from another nation, which perhaps is the United States. There it uses Aram. Aram is Syria. Or some Agoris Edom. Edom is America. Now you have America right there now about to strike. At any moment that could happen. The situation now is very tense. It's a clear situation of Malchios Mizgaros Zu B'Zu. I don't want to repeat what the Medrash says afterwards, because it's a very scary scenario that it says afterwards of what could happen. We don't know exactly what the Medrash means over there. But we have to daven, that's clear, that's the only way, that's only the only thing we can do here in Bayswater, or whoever's listening to this, is Asher Lakachti Miyad HaEmoyri B'Charbi U'V'Kashti. So there are many today who are talking about bearing arms, and we're going to buy rifles, and we're going to get weapons, and we're going to fight our enemies with weapons, with the Yadayim Yaday Esav. Well, maybe perhaps sometimes you have to do that. Moshe Rabbeinu did kill the Mitzri, that's true. Vayachas ha-Mitzri vayitmenehu b'achoyl, and we habola hargach ha-hashkem la-hargach. But the only real way that a Jew in all the ages combats his enemies is through tefillah. Asher lakachti miyad ha-emoyri b'charbi u'v'kashti, says Rashi, and this week's parasha is referring to bakoshosi, tefillah. We have to intensify our davening, and daven that it should be b'chesed u'v'rachamim, that not one Jew should be hurt. No one should be hurt, that's the truth. No one should be hurt. No one says that this has to end with a disaster, with a catastrophe, with an apocalypse. It doesn't have to be that way. It could end very peacefully if we do tshuva and we do what we're supposed to. We could bring Mashiach earlier, as mentioned last week, achishana, in an oifen of chesed and racham, and without the chevelei Mashiach, without the difficulties that have to go with it, especially if we are zoiche and our zechusim, bring Mashiach, it could happen in a very, very peaceful way, or at least it certainly shouldn't affect Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't affect Am Yisrael. So the time we're in now is Parshas Vayechi. Vayechi, the last parsha of Sefer Bereishis, is our generation. That's the last sedra of Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis has 12 parshiyos, says the Pri Tzadik, Reb Tzadik of HaKoyin of Lublin, that just like there are 12 Shvatim, and there are 12 months, and there are 12 signs of the zodiac. There are 12 parashiyos in Sefer Bereishis, because Sefer Bereishis is called also Sefer Yetzira. It's the book of creation. Besides, as mentioned before, that it's Sefer HaYosher. It's the Sefer of Yetzira. So it makes sense, therefore, that the end of Bereishis is the end of time. In fact, the first time ever that the Torah says the word Acharis is this week in Parashas Vayechi. You have Bereishis with the first parasha, which of course starts with the word Bereishis. That's the beginning of time. This parasha talks about Acharis. Yaakov Avinu gathers his children. And he says, gather together, hey Osfu. And I'm going to tell you, Esa Sheyikra Eschem, what's going to encounter you, the Acharis Hayamim. That's our time. Yaakov is telling his children 3,000 years ago what's going to happen, the Acharis Hayonim, because this parasha is the Acharis of Sefer Bereishis. So this parasha represents our time, Acharis Hayonim, Ikfasid the Meshicha, the time of Regel. That's why Vayesoif Raglov El Hamita, Yaakov gathers his feet and puts them on the bed. It's the end. Vayesoif Raglov El Hamita, Ragloi Shel Moshiach. This is where there is Gilui Haketz. Yaakov wants to reveal the end, he wants to bring Moshiach. He wants to tell his children when the Geula will come, but it's concealed from him. There's Histalkus Hashchina, like this week we had the death of Ezra, the passing of Ezra. That's when the Vua ends. In this parasha, Yaakov's, the Shchina leaves Yaakov Avinu more than once. He wants to bench Menashe and Ephraim, and says, Nistalkum imenu Shchina, because he saw Rishoyim coming out of them, Yeravim ben Nevat, and Yehu. So Yosef has to daven that the Shchina should return to him so he could bless Menashe and Ephraim. And here again, when he's about to reveal the end, the Stal Kamim and Rushchina, or at the beginning of the parasha, why is it a parasha Stuma? He's also about to be Megalad Akates, Nistam Mimenu, Stima, Histalkus Hashchina. That's Teves related. That's the month we're in now, the month of concealment, the time we're in now. We're in a time of Teves. The whole generation, this is a generation of Teves, a generation of concealment, where Esav rules, because Teves is the month of Esav, where we go down from Yisrael to Yaakov. But the parasha tells us that in the difficult times, we can infuse life. We can be alive, despite that we're in a dead time. It's like a dead zone. In a dead zone, the phones don't work, or the electricity is not working. There's some sort of a blackout. It's like all of a sudden it's dead. There's no life. There's no prophecy. There's no clarity. That's Vayechi. Parasha Stum, it's closed. And more so, what else happens in this week's parasha? In this week's parasha, the Ma'oras HaMachpelah closes. It closes for good until Mashiach will come. We all know that the Ma'oras HaMachpelah is only for four couples. It started with Adam and Chava. In Parashas Chayisara, the Shabbos that we usher in the month of Kislev, as Hanukkah is approaching, we learn about the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. The Ma'oras HaMachpelah opens up. Sarah was the first to be buried there. Then Avraham Avinu, and Avraham was buried there on Chanukah, according to the Midrashim that we mentioned in the previous weeks, that Avraham passed away with Shchodesh Teves, Tikover B'Seva Teves, Rosh Teves Teves. So that means Avraham Avinu was buried in the Maris HaMachpelah on Chanukah. When was Yaakov buried in the Maris HaMachpelah? Yaakov is the final person to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, the last of the four couples, because Leah predeceased him. And Yitzchak and Rivka passed away already, and Avraham and Sarah passed away already, and Adam and Chava way before that. So who was the last one to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah? Yaakov Avinu. And the Maris HaMachpelah is only for the Avos. Just like Ein Koyrin Avos Ela L'Shloisha, that they're a unique group unto themselves. The Maris HaMachpelah was only for the Avos. Yaakov was buried in the Maris HaMachpelah also on Chanukah, as we quoted the Bnei Yisoscha and the Drashas Chassam Sofer, that Yaakov passed away on Sukkot. And he was buried on Chanukah, and according to many, it was also Rosh Chodesh Teves, the day that Esav went off the Derech, and that's the day that Esav tried to prevent Yaakov from being buried, and that's the day that Esav was killed. And by who? By Hushim ben Don, who Teves is Don, the lowest of the Shvatim. So the Maris HaMachpelah closes this week. It opened in Parashas Chayisara. The opening season was Chayisara, like the last game, Lahavdil, the end of the season. And now the gates close till next year. This week, the Maris HaMachpelah's doors now close. Yaakov is buried there, and the Maris HaMachpelah now has whoever has to be buried there no more. Because this time is a time of closing. That's why the parasha starts with a steamer, with no break, with no gap. But our job is to find an opening. That's what the Svasemis, the Pnei Menachem, talk a lot about in this week's parasha, that at the end of the parasha there's an opening from Vayechi to Shemais, where you would think that's where the darkness is the most, that's where the concealment is the most intensified. There is an opening between Vayechi and Shemais. There's a psicha, because we have to open. It's closed, we have to open. It looks like the gates are closed. It looks like Hashem doesn't want to hear from us. You got to bang on the door. This is the time to increase in our tefillos. Don't let Chanukah pass. Chanukah has to continue. The oir of Melech HaMashiach has to permeate Teves. Who knows if we aren't already experiencing now, as this is unfolding in front of our eyes, the beginning of Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach, which is supposed to start from situations such as this, as the Medrash, as all these Midrashim that we are quoting seem to be saying. The parsha ends Vayisem Bo'oroin B'Mitzrayim. So Yosef is buried in Mitzrayim. Where was he buried? So Chazal tell us, it's also the last Targum Yonason, the Baal HaTurim says it as well, Yosef was placed in a coffin, and that coffin was put in the Nile River. Yosef is Begematria Nilus, says the Baal HaTurim. The last Baal HaTurim of this week's parasha. Yosef is the same Gematria as Nilus, the Nile River. Nile River is an idol. It was an idol. They worshipped it. The whole, Mitzrayim worshipped water. We know that. Mitzrayim has the word Mayim in its name. They were notorious idol worshippers. They believed that the river is what gave them everything. Yosef HaTzadik should be buried in the Nile River of all places. How could that be? Yosef HaTzadik, the Merkava, the Midas HaYisoid, who he himself is the opposite, the total opposite of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Ervas Ha'oretz. Mitzrayim is the place of Znus, Asher Besar Chamoirim Besorim, Zir Masusim, Zir Masim, as Yecheskel HaNavi elaborates in his famous Nevuah, what Mitzrayim represents. Yosef is Kedushas HaYisoid, the Midah of Yisoid that we especially try to rectify during the days of Shavuavim that are coming up. Chanukah actually is the springboard to that, as the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us. We know there are two brisos. There's the bris haloshon and the bris ho'einayim, the eyes and the tongue. They go together. Bris haloshon, bris hamo'or. We have to be careful what we look at and careful how we speak. Chanukah is both. Chanukah is the yom tov of talking and the yom tov of seeing. You have to look at the neiros. Haroya mevarach shtayim, eng lana reshus lehishtamish pohem ela leroysam bilvad, and Kavum behalel v'hoidah. So Chanukah is speech and sight. That's Kedushas HaBris. Loshoin and Ma'or. And that's Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is the Midah of Yisoy. That's why Chanukah is Yosef. As the Shalom HaKadosh, we spoke about it in previous weeks. Chanukah based Yosef Lehova. Yosef Yaakov together. The fusion of Yaakov and Yosef is Kedushas HaYisoy. Koichi v'reishis oini, as we see Yaakov Avinux excelled in this Midah, and he passed it on to Yosef HaTzadik, the only one of the Shvatim is referred to as Tzadik. And this week's parasha, Yosef and Yaakov pass away. We know that the Chassam Sofer, his Rebbe, was Reb Nosson Adler, one of his Rebbeim. He had two Rebbeim, Reb Nosson Adler and the Panim Yofo Istaflo. So when I think it was Reb Nosson Adler passed away, the Chassam Sofer wasn't there when that happened. He was very upset. He wrote a letter to some of the Talmidim. He wanted to be in the vicinity. He wanted to be in the room where his Rebbe passed away. And he explained, just like when Elisha and Eliyahu had that final encounter, and Eliyahu says to Elisha, ask whatever you want. And Elisha asks for double. Pishnayim. Give me double. How could someone give double more than he has? But Elisha got double. Eliyahu performs 8 miracles. Elisha performs 16, as we see in Tanakh. So from there we see that if a person, a student, is in the room with his Rebbe, when his Rebbe leaves this world, he can be zeicha to tremendous ha'oris. So the Chassam Sofer was bemoaning that he wasn't there when his Rebbe passed away. So I heard this from Rav Wolfson Shlita. May Hashem give him long years. So Rav Wolfson said this a number of times, that Parshas Vayechi is the parasha where we experience, we are in the room with Yaakov and Yosef as they pass away. And David HaMelech as well, because the Haftorah is about David HaMelech. So we can experience, we can be zeicha to many, many great ha'oris, like when one is in the room where a Rebbe of his passes away. Tremendous ha'oris, especially tzaddikim, who it says about them that they don't die. And Yaakov is one of them. Yaakov lo'imeis. So this parasha, we have the passing of Yaakov, the passing of Yosef. The two together, tremendous Kedusha. And this is the springboard to the Yemei HaShoivavim, which follow right after the parasha of Vayechi. So the parasha starts how Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. That means the entire time, as they entered Mitzrayim, they either had Yaakov with them or Yosef. They were never once without the two, because even after Yaakov passed away, they still had Yosef alive, and Yosef after his Petira, because Yosef never left Mitzrayim until they left Mitzrayim. His body is still there, was still there, until they left. Yosef never asked that his body be taken out of Mitzrayim, but Pashas, because he knew they wouldn't let. But it was meant to be that way, that Yosef had to be with them in Mitzrayim in order for them to be able to endure the galus of Mitzrayim, especially Mitzrayim, Ervas HaOretz, that they should be able to separate from the Arayis and stay away from Egyptian women and so on. It was only Shaykh because Yosef was with them, the Yosef Hoyab Mitzrayim. Vayisem Ba'oroin B'Mitzrayim Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazek. The greatest chizik is that we have Yosef with us in Mitzrayim. The greatest chizik is we have Chanukah with us in Teves. Because Yosef is Chanukah, Mitzrayim is Teves. Vayechi, we experience life in a dead month. This is a dead month. Or it could be a dead month. It's the month of Esav. Rishoyim b'chayehem kruyim mesim. Rishoyim are called dead even when they're alive. Mitzrayim is a country of dead people. Because they were disconnected. They're Rishoyim. They're dead. But this parasha is called Vayechi. So the entire time that the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, they had either Yaakov or Yosef alive or the body of Yosef. And where's the body of Yosef? In the lowest Tuma of Mitzrayim, in the Nile River, in the Nilus, which the Nile River is what they worshipped. That's where the body of Yosef is. That's how low Yosef was, such a tzaddik, he was able to go into the lowest depths, to the lowest depths of Tuma and bring out and extract the sparks of Kedusha. That's what the Yom Tov of Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is the Yom Tov, as we spoke many times, that even those Jews who find themselves in the north side, which is the left, and outside, and below Ten Tfachim, and during the night, and in the boundary of Esav, and in the times of concealment, the second half of the month, which Teves is all of that. Teves is the month of Dan. Dan was the lowest of the Shvatim. They were the ones, as Rashi brings the Psikta in Yecheskel, Kapitel Tazayin, Rashi over here brings the Pasuk in Parshas Kisei, it says, Kol HaNechesh Sholim Acharecha, by Amalek, is talking about Zeh Shiftoi Shel Dan, who were the lowest of the Shvatim. In fact, Rashi over there says they were all idol worshippers. Sounds like they were all idol worshippers. Dan. Dan is Teves. Teves is Dan. This week's parasha, Yehi Dan Nochosh Alei Derech. Dan was affected by the Nochosh. Nechesh Sholim. Nochosh is Rosh Teves. Ner Shel Chanukah. So the Ner Shel Chanukah enters the month of Teves, the month of Dan, that even the Danites should be pulled out of the Tumma, taken out of the domain of Esav. Yishuascha kivisi Hashem. Yaakov cries out. It's a three-word pasuk. Yadua. There's a minig Mitzray Shabbos to say all the psukim that are only three words. It's supposed to be a very big skula to say all the psukim that have only three words. Last week we had Uvenei Don Chushim. This week we have Yishuascha kivisi Hashem. Last week we had, 2 weeks ago rather, we had the Harav Kaved Ba'aretz. And next week, we have in Shemais, 4 weeks in a row, the only 4 weeks in a row that you have psukim that are three words only is during this time, Yisachar Zevulun of Vinyamin. They're all in Teves. In Teves, in the lowest month, the darkest, the coldest, we have these psukim that only have three words that are big schoolers for Yeshua, especially the pasuk, Lishuascha Kivisi Adonai, which is something that we all should say all the time. There are many tzaddikim that would say this pasuk constantly, whenever they would be confronted by any difficulties, they would say the pasuk, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. And when we say that, we can be zeichet to tremendous Yeshua. It's Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, especially in a time we're in now, where Klal Yisrael and the entire world needs a very great Yeshua. So this parasha, Parashas Vayechi, is the parasha of our generation. And where is Mashiach going to be revealed? In our generation, in the lowest time, in the lowest place, and in the most unexpected time and place, because it comes suddenly. In this parasha, we have the word that means Mashiach for the first time in Chumash. Ad ki yavoi shiloi. In the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yehuda, he says, La yosur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechoykek mi bein raglov. Ad ki yavoi shiloi. Yavoi shiloi is begematria Mashiach. Shilai is Begematria Moshe, because Moshe is Mashiach, Moshe Mashahoya Husheiya, the leader of the generation, is the Mashiach of the generation. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Zayar HaKadosh Mashahoya Husheiya. It doesn't the Zayar. The Rechaim HaKadosh asks, how could that be? Moshe was a Levi. How could Moshe be Mashiach? Rechaim suggests an answer. The Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. When it'll happen, we'll understand it. At Kiyavai Shilai Begematria Mashiach. Mashiach is the Oisius Madlik Shmoinas Yemei Chanukah, Oiroi Shal Melech HaMashiach. And it's going to start in a time, in a difficult time, and in a difficult situation, and through a concealment. That's when Mashiach is going to be revealed, emerge from a concealment. Yaakov Avinu, it says, thought that Shimshon was Mashiach. In this week's parasha, Yehi Don Nachash, Nachash Begematria Mashiach, Shimshon went down into the dumps. Shimshon went into the land of the Plishtim. Shimshon did a nes of Chanukah. By Yered Shimshon Timnasa, he even married Plishti women. He went into the depths of Tumah to extract, to bring out Neshamais, which is the avoda of Mashiach, the Vilti Yidach, Mimenu Nidach. So Yaakov thought perhaps it's him. But then when he saw what happened to him, he saw that he was killed. So he said, it can't be him. Lishuasacha kivisi Hashem. That means Yaakov sees in Dun, because Shimshon's from Dun, the salvation. Perhaps that's Teves. In Teves, that's where the Yeshua will come. Teves is Rosh Teves, as it says in Imre Noyam, Sekademenu Birchais Toiv. Teves, Teves, it's really good. What does Yosef say to the Shvatim at the end of the parasha when they're worried that he's going to take revenge from them? And he says, Atem chashavtem olai ro'a elokim chashava l'toiva. What you thought, and you thought would be bad, Hashem had different plans. It's all good. Elokim chashava l'toiva. Toiva, that's Teves. Teves looks bad. It's not really bad, because it's really good. It's just that it's hidden. We don't see it. What we think is ra'a is really toiva. We look at the situation in the world now, and many will just say it looks like everything is just negative. We're doomed. What's going to happen here? The situation of the world is precarious. What's going on in America? What's going on in Eretz Yisrael? What's going on in Europe? What's going on all over the world? Malchus, Mizgaris, Zubazu, and everything else that's going on, and the Hashchasa, and the terrible, terrible situation that we find ourselves in, and on many fronts, it looks like it's ra'a, but Elokim chashava l'toiva. It's all to be ma'oirer us. It's all to wake us up. It's all to bring to the Yemais HaMashiach. It's all to bring to the days of L'sakein Olam b'malchus shin dalud yud. Yaakov loy meis, and that means that even when it's Yaakov, it's loy meis. Even when we fall down to Yaakov, even when Vayikru v'yemei Yisrael lamus, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev have passed, we entered now a difficult time period, now until Tu B'Shvat, but we have the Oir of Melech HaMashiach, we have the Oir of Chanukah. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. We have the Lamed Vavnei Reis of Chanukah that have to last till the end of Teves. We have to connect Chanukah to Purim. We connect Chanukah and Purim with Shoivivim. Shoivivim ends, and then it's Chodesh Adar. This week's parasha we read, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol, the bracha that was given to Binyamin. V'lo Erev, says Rashi, what's Erev, what's evening? Mishetishka Shimshon Shal Yisrael Al Yedei Nevuchadnetzar Sheyigleim Lebovel. That's Asara B'Teves. Erev is Asara B'Teves. Erev is Rosh Teves. Ro'as Asara B'Teves. And what comes after that? Yechalek Sholol. Sholol is Begematria Shoivivim. V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol, that's of course Purim. Rashi says that Yechalek Sholol is the Nes of Purim. From Asara B'Teves, basically, we are connecting Chanukah and Purim. And in between is Shoivivim. So the two Yanim Tovim of Chanukah and Purim connect. They really connect before this already, as we spoke, Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh Teves is Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh Teves is when Achashverosh married Esther, which is when the Nes of Purim begins. So the next few weeks are very, very, very great weeks. Because they fell, because they fell so low, only indicates how high they are potentially, and how many sparks of Kedusha are there, and how much Avodah there is to do in this time. And perhaps that's why Shoivivim is Dafka in the lowest time period, that we can be Mesakeh in the lowest Chatoyim, and elevate ourselves to such great heights in the schus of Yosef HaTzadik, who we learn about now in these parashiyos, even next week, V'yosef hoya b'mitzrayim, we can accomplish so much. Shuvu banim shayvavim, we go from Sefer HaYosher, Yosher means straight, into the weeks of Shoyvev, is someone who's not straight. Shoyvev means crooked. When we complete Sefer HaYosher, now we have to straighten out the crookedness. Now comes the 6 weeks of Shoyvavim, to be Mesakein, those Chatoyim that call us Shoyvavim, Shoyvev, Begumatria Keri, and so on. So this parasha is tremendous chizuk, because in the concealment, in the darkness that happens in this week's parasha, this parasha is stuma, but it ends with a psicha. It ends with a great opening. That means we have the ability to open up the locked door, to open up, to turn the stima into a psicha. With our tefillos, we can accomplish a tremendous amount. So the Gemara says, what does a person have to do to be saved from Chevlei Moshiach? Yasoik b'toira uvegmilas chasadim. Who knows how many schusim Klal Yisrael has right now. And now is a time only to be melamed schus on Klal Yisrael. All the siyumim that have been made. Shoivivim is begamatria shas. Shalol, begamatria shas. All over Klal Yisrael are being messayim shas. And it's happening in all different parts of the world. As this precarious situation is happening in the world, Klal Yisrael is beginning Shas over again. This week, Mamish this week, they started Masechta Brachos. There's no question that the schus of so many people learning Daf Yomi or whatever they're learning is going to protect Klal Yisrael. The tremendous chesed, as the Gemara says, we have to be Isaac and Torah and Gemilas Chasadim to be saved from Chevlei Moshiach. The chesed that Klal Yisrael does is undescribable, and there never was a generation that did so much chesed, as mentioned there many times, like our generation, where there are so many endless organizations that do such chesed. Klal Yisrael, just for that alone, deserves immediately Bias HaMoshiach. So Parshas Vayechi, despite the concealment, and Yaakov loses his Ruach HaKodesh, and there's darkness, and we don't have Yaakov and Yosef and so on, but in Vayechi is Yavai Shiloi. In Vayechi is Giloi HaKetz. In Vayechi, we have the Nechama, the 33 years that Yaakov lost. At the end, in the Haftarah, we read that David HaMelech ruled in Yerushalayim for 33 years. Ubi Yerushalayim Molach, Shalosh, Ushloishim Shana, Gal. Gal Einayv, Yabitan, and Flois, Mitarasecha. That's the 33rd word of Chumash, as mentioned here many times. The 33rd word of Chumash is the word Toiv, which as the B'nai Yisoscha, whose yahrzeit is next week, Schusay Agon Aleinu makes note that the tess of the word Toiv, the 33rd word of Chumash, which that word, the first time it ever says good in Torah, the first time there's ever the letter tess in Torah, that's the root of it all, as the Pri Tzadik says. That's talking about the hidden light, as Rashi over there says on that pasuk. So that letter tess has four crowns on it, four tagin. That's 9 times 4, that's 36. The 36 Mesechtes of Shas. From Brachas till Nida, there are 36 Mesechtes of Shas, which so many just concluded and many are beginning. There are 36 hidden tzaddikim, the 36 hours that the Or HaGonis lasted until it was put into concealment, until it was hidden. And the 36 Neiros of Hanukkah, and the 36 days from Chofei Kislev till the last day of Teves, which we're in right now. And that's the goal, to illuminate the Teves, to light up the Teves. Teves also Miloshen HaTovas HaNeiros, a time of cleansing, which that's what Shoivim is. Asara B'Teves, these are all cleansing, and especially all these events that are taking place in the world are to be ma'ira us to cleanse ourselves. We want to face Mashiach and not be embarrassed. How embarrassing is it going to be when we're going to go online to greet Mashiach? And we know Mashiach is a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu came out. So he'll know everything about us in detail. So it's better if we get there and have cleansed ourselves and did tshuva, so we can give him shalom aleichem as balei tshuva, clean, with a clean slate, prepared, because we got the message. We're not going to be able to excuse ourselves and say when he comes, and he can come suddenly, that, well, how come you didn't tell us you were coming? So what's the answer? What do you mean we didn't tell you? You learned all those Gemaras and those Midrashim. Did you read what it says? And if you see this happen and that happen and that happen, Get ready. What do you think these things are happening for? You see the world situation, you didn't wake up. There's l'chayra, no excuse. So that's the message we have to take from what's going on in the current events. Not just to sit back and just keep on watching what, how many more missiles, what's going to be next. Perhaps we do that too, but that's not the goal is. The goal is to do something about it, to be ready, to prepare, to be misakin ourselves, to increase in Torah, to daven better, to give more tzedakah, and specifically to unite all fellow Jews, all groups of Jews. As in this week's parasha, what did Yaakov Avinu say? Hey, osfu, gather together, he said. And I'll tell you what will happen by Acharis Hayomim, which means the gathering of the Jews together, the unity of the Jewish people, that's going to bring the Acharis Hayomim, that's going to bring the Geula, where all the Shvatim, where all of Klal Yisrael unite together. And as we saw what happened in this parasha, all the Shvatim united and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They all said it in unison, and then Yaakov says Baruch Shem, which is why we say Baruch Shem, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Vav, where the Gemara over there discusses the whole conversation that went on between Yaakov Ubanov, which the Rambam brings Luchas Kriyashma, which many are learning now as you start learning Masech the Brachas, you're learning about Kriyashma. That's this week's parasha, which Shema, as we spoke, has 25 letters. That has to do with Chanukah, the Yom Tov of 25. Chanukah is the Yom Tov where we proclaim Hashem as one. That was always the Pasuk that Jews said in every situation. That's what kept us going. That's what was cried out in unison at the Sea of Hashas, where tens and thousands of Jews cried out together, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, together with Baruch Shem and Hashem Hu Elokim. May that schus and the schusim that we all that hope that Klal Yisrael has give us the geula bechesed uverachamim. We should all be zeichet to see this happen quickly, speedily, and in an oifen that no one should be hurt in any way, but it should be bechesed uverachamim. May we all be zeichet to spend this Shabbos and the Yemei HaShoivivim in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, together with David HaMelech, together with Yosef and Yaakov and all the tzaddikim, Moshe of Aaron, the Yimoyim, as the Gemara says, and specifically together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, we all be zeichet to that immediately, and to have a very lichtige teves, a lit teves, a lively teves, vayichi, and maybe we all be zeichet to have good health, arichis yam v'shalem teves, and chayim nitzchim, eternal life, where we live forever and ever, even in this world, especially after Tchiyas HaMeisim, but even before that, maybe we be zeichet to that immediately, mamish now.